Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for this opportunity that we have to come and learn your word this evening. May we be receptive to what's being taught, and may we apply it in our lives so that we can go out and set a good example to those who are unbelievers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Every now and then I'll drop a large bombshell on you from some deep theological study. Now, how many of you have taken some Hebrew from me? Raise hands. All right, the rest of you didn't. We are going through the book of Genesis, the creation or evolution of the heavens and the earth, on Sunday night at 4:30 in the afternoon. Last week, the downloads were fantastic. We had just hundreds of downloads and nothing, just hours. I will throw a little bit of Hebrew in this class, as you know. And one thing this young lady here did not understand about a child not having its mother's blood in it. The blood from the child comes from the father, not the mother. We're all made from one blood, the Bible says. From one blood. I can't go into every place, okay? But in Genesis, after man and woman sinned in the third chapter, all right, in chapter 4 and verse 1, now, that's where Isha got a brand new name. Isha got a new name. What does Isha mean? Isha. Isha. What does Isha mean? That's a Hebrew word for woman. Okay? And the Lord spoke to them and told them all the curses that they would have and that they would begin the process of dying. And also in Genesis 3:15, he promised that the Messiah would come from the woman, not from the man, the woman. All Jews trace their lineage through the woman, not the man, because of Genesis 3:15. Now the woman does not contribute blood to the child. The blood comes from the father. The woman contributes the body to the child. And she feeds the child and everything, but the life, the curse and the blood come from the father. That's just medically, that's a fact. Okay? It comes from the Bible and also. Now, Eve, which Ava was her name, Eve in Genesis 4 and 1. Now, Adam, after all this was given and that they were going to all die and everything, then he calls Eve the mother of all living. Okay? Because he believes that the Messiah is coming and he thinks that his firstborn child is going to be the Messiah that's going to redeem them. And then in Genesis 4 and 1, it says, and a man and a woman cohabited together. They sexually joined and she conceived and she brought forth a child. And she said, look, I have gotten a man, even Jehovah. This is the Word. Remember, we studied the Word last week. In the beginning was the Word. She thought that the Messiah was born, the first one. And, of course, what was his name? What was her first child's name? Mm-hmm. What? Cain. 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 Cain means what? Gotten. I have gotten. She named him Gotten. She thought she had gotten the Messiah. Okay? Now, there's where that is. Now, do you understand that, young lady, now? Have you got that a little better? No?
But she's an NICU nurse, and she's yes. brought
babies. I didn't realize that the blood
came from the father.
I don't understand that physically, so I'll have to
okay. I had one of my students 15 years ago.
You do blood types, and yes. Some blood type is the mother, mm-hmm. Some blood type is the father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a student 15 years ago, I had about five doctors in my class at once, and I dropped that little bombshell on them. And one student, Dr. Susan Hune, I don't know if you know who she is or not, she was the anesthesiologist at San Joaquin. She's the head of the anesthesiology at Delano Hospital now. She just went like this. All week, that week, she's just really technically inclined, okay? She called back her professors, every professor that she had worked with at Cedars-Sinai in New York. She studied every book she could find and chased everything out. And the next week in class, she wanted to say something to the class, and she said, I'm a doctor. And she said, all of my life, I thought the blood and came from the mother of the child, because they didn't teach me that in medical school. But she said, this week I checked with all of my teachers, my professors and everything, because they like me. You know, we stay in touch. And she said, I found out this week that the blood does not come from the mother. It comes from the father. The only way the blood will come from the mother, if the mother gets shot or has an accident, the blood will be infused into it. Otherwise, the blood comes from the father. That's where the blood comes from.
So the blood typing and everything?
No, not the blood typing, but the blood and the life. The blood and the life comes from the father, not the mother. That life, the mother could not bring forth a child without the father giving it that blood. And they mingle and produce another type, okay, from the mother and the father. They don't know what it's going to turn out to be, but the blood comes from the father, okay? But then it will mingle, the genes mingle, and then they'll come out with its own type, but the blood is from the father,
okay?
That helps you. All right. Now, did he have any other questions? You have a question, young man. All right. John 16 and verse 10. Jesus is speaking to his church. We'll read this in Greek, and then we'll go back into it. Peri dekaiosunes de hote pros ton patera hippago kai ukete theorete me. Now, if you look down there, you'll see cross references. In different parts of the Bible, this cross reference to these places, okay? Concerning righteousness. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do when he comes. He's going to convict the world of righteousness, what righteousness is. Okay? Concerning righteousness, and because to the Father I go. Okay? And no longer you will behold me, because I go to the Father. What did Jesus say on the cross of Calvary? Some of the last words he said. Do you remember? Huh? He said, it is finished. It's to the end. It's finished. I've done what I came to do. It's finished. And then he said what? Father, take care of these here while I'm gone. And into your hands I release my spirit and soul. Okay? And he died. They did not kill him on the cross. He could have died before the cross because he was so beat up from the flogging. Pontius Pilate tried to turn him loose 5 times, if they wouldn't have it. He finally beat him half to death. And said, well, when they see him beat half to death, maybe they'll have mercy on him and turn him loose, you know, and I can save his life. And they didn't have it. Then they crucified him. He could have died from the beating. If you were beat like that, you could have died from that. He was very dehydrated and beaten and kept up and slapped and, you know, for hours and hours and hours of torture. And then they put him on the cross. Now, Jesus wasn't in Isaiah 800 years before Christ and Psalm 22, all right? It predicted that Jesus would be crucified on the cross. He would die of crucifixion. What was the capital punishment in Israel for what we call a capital offense? What did they do? There were 3 things that they did.
Stoning,
strangling, and burning them. They burned them, they strangled them, or they stoned them. Now, that's not how he died, is it? If you strangle somebody, have they got control over the moment they die? No. No, they don't. If you strangle somebody to death, they don't have control over the moment they die. How about if you burn them? Do they have control over the moment they die? No. How about if you stone him? No. But if you crucify him, he was on the cross. They lived sometime for a week, 2 weeks. Sometimes I think the longest one to live on a cross crucified was like almost 3 weeks long that he was on the cross. He just died real slow. But with crucifixion, he actually controlled the moment of his death. Yes.
When did crucifixion come in? I mean, did the Romans, were they the only ones
crucified? No, they didn't invent crucifixion. The crucifixion was invented by the Ninevites, and it evolved, okay? So we'll tell you a little bit about that. Crucifixion, in the book of Esther, you know, it talks about Haman and Mordecai, all that. They were going to take and build a scaffold 75 feet tall, basically, and they were going to crucify Mordecai on it. That's what Haman had the idea of, crucifying him on it. Now, crucifixion was not crucifixion at all as we know it today. Okay? You took a person on a sharp stake like this, and you lifted them up and set it in, and it would go up through their inwards. They would go up basically in their opening there. It would go up into their body, and they would set up there, and as this thing would go up, it would rupture, and they would bleed to death. And it was very painful, of course. They would grease this thing, and of course it was not that, it was sharper than that. As it would go up, the more they wiggled, the more it would go. Okay, this is how Haman died. And that's what Mordecai was going to do. Okay, this was bad, but it's not as bad as what happened. The Romans took this and said, well, that's a good day, because we will take this thing out and we will put it out where they come and go into the city. And when we get ready to publicly execute somebody, we're going to execute them like this. But they died too fast. They wanted somebody to suffer for a long time. And so they took this stotteros, this stake, and they nailed people's hands to it like that. Here's their head and their body and their feet. They would nail their feet here, nail their hands there. And why did you? What did you die of when you were crucified? What?
Suffocation.
That didn't last too long this way either. So they tried to carry it on. Now you get the idea here. Now this is what we call a eidola, or a vertical stake, or staros. Your Jehovah Witness brethren will say, this is the way Jesus was crucified. Nope. It was the same term, but crucifixion had evolved. Now, after the key, they would put one hand there, one hand there, one foot there, one foot there, and he still would die too fast. They wanted him to live for a long time in terrible misery. So, they decided to do this. Now there's two forms of this, one like that and one with a towel, but it was a towel cross regardless, okay? They put a little platform here, they put a platform here. They would tie you to the thing, they would put a nail through your wrist like this with a washer on it. Now if you put it in the palm of your hands, it's going to rip out. They didn't do that. Where's the most terrible place in your hand that have you all this pain? Right in the carpal tunnel area. And they drove the stakes right through that area because it's tougher there than any place else. And they put a washer on it so it wouldn't tear out. They took and put both feet down here like this, one on top of the other, and drove a nail through that. And then right where their butt would set, they put a little rest so they could push themselves up and hold a rest. It wasn't for kindness. It wasn't for kindness. It was so they would live in that tortured state longer. And that's the kind of cross that Jesus was crucified on. Not this kind, not that kind, not like this, but this kind, right here. All right. That help you? Did that clear up some things about crucifixion? It evolved, okay? 16 and verse 10. Concerning because to the Father I go, and no longer you will behold me. I'm going to go to the Father, and no longer you will behold me. Now look at that. I'm going to go. Hipago. I shall go, I shall depart. First person singular, present, indicative, active. It means to draw away. I'm going to be drawn away to the Father, literally. And then there... Thorete, thorete is second person plural, present, indicative, active. And it comes from theriol, and that's the word theater. That's where we get our word theater from, that word. A theater is where you go what? You go watch something. 16 and verse 11. Do you have a question? No? All right. Peri, de, krisios. Hote, ho, archon. Tu, cosmo, tuto, kekrite. And concerning judgment, because the ruler, the archon, the ruler of the world, the this, he has been judged. Let's go back to the sixth, or go forward, actually, to the sixth chapter. Well, go to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is not really the book of Ephesians. How many of you knew that? Huh? It's not really the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is a circular letter. Book of Ephesians is a circular letter, what we call a general epistle. Later on, the word Ephesus, in Ephesus, was put in it. If you look in your study Bibles over there where it says in Ephesus, Ephesians 1 and verse 1, Paulus apostolos, Christu Jesu, dia thelamatos tu tois, hagios tu usin in Ephesu. The word in Ephesu there is in brackets. It wasn't there. So this would be to a church anywhere. It's going to go out. It was copied from Ephesus, and it was known as the Ephesian letter from that time. It was sent out from there. Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the spiritual activating force belonging to God and coming from God to the saints, the ones being anywhere, period, all over, and the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter 2, and you he has quickened or made alive, you the ones being dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked according to the course of this age, the world grabbers. Roger, can you get that young lady a book over there, type books? According to the age of this world, according to the ruler and the authority of the air, the spirit that now energizes in the sons of disobedience, in the heirs of disobedience, those are Satan's children. Okay? Now, we were. And then we had our conversation in verse number 3, according to whom we had our conversation, our pattern of living in times past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others were. Now go over to the 6th chapter. The Apostle Paul is quoting, basically commenting on what John's saying here. 6 and verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be clothed in the power of his might and in his strength. Be dressed up in the power and his strength. Put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the methods of the devil. The methods of the devil. Because not it is that we wrestle in close quarters against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the power of the world grabbers, the power of darkness, the spiritual forces that are evil. The spiritual forces that are evil. 6 and verse 12. Then it says, take up the whole armor of God. Now, the God of this world, the God of this age that we live in, I am going to be thankful when the millennium comes. I don't know about you, but I'm really going to be thankful. Satan is going to be set aside. I'm going to be real thankful. Now, how many do you understand anything about eschatology? Somebody does? Nobody? A little bit? Let me explain that to you just a little bit. Because we're in that thing right here in 6 and verse 11. Jesus came in Matthew, the 4th chapter. The first thing right after Jesus was announced as the Messiah, guess what happened to him? Matthew, the 4th chapter, what happened? Satan went into combat with our Savior. Face to face. Right off. Face to face. And he was out in the wilderness for 40 days. Remember, without eating or anything. And Satan appeared to him. And what was the first thing he said? You're hungry? I'm sure you're hungry. Turn those stones into bread. Do you think Jesus could have turned them into bread? Why, he created bread a little bit later on in his ministry, didn't he? By the tons he created it. But not then. Because he would obey Satan. Satan tried to trick him. The methods of Satan, methodos. Our word method comes right out of the Greek word methodios. Okay? He tried to brainwash him, so to speak. Do this, do that, that. He took him up and to the highest part of the temple area. Probably right over this area that looks down on that deep valley right there. Took him up there. He said, jump off. Jump off. Jump off. The angels will support you. He said, no. No. He told him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, Jehovah thy Elohim. That's what he told him. Okay? He looked out over all the nations of the world, and he said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give them all to you. Right now. Did he have them? Did Satan have them? Did Satan have all the power over? He still does. He still does. To this day, he has power over all these nations. Now, we live in this age. At the end of this age, there's going to be what we call, most people, I don't want to confuse you, I'm just going to tell you one view of it, okay? At the end of the church age, and the last person is saved in the church age, there's going to be a rapture, a snatching up of all people that are saved, okay? And they're going to go up and be with the Lord for 7 years. There's going to be a wedding feast up there for 7 years. And down on the earth, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. And the reason for that 7-year tribulation period is what, young man? Sharon. What is it?
Well, the salvation of the Jews.
Bring Israel back to God. Because now the church is gone. Okay? All hell turns loose on earth. That's where, during this period of time right here, about in the middle of this period of time here, the people, those angels and demon spirits that were put in the bottomless pit, part of some of Michael's group, we talked about that last week, they're going to be turned loose on the earth, and they're going to turn into terrible-looking creatures to torment those people at that time. Israel is going to be protected by God, but the Antichrist, which is the son of Satan, is going to kill 2 out of every 3 Jews. He is going to kill 5 out of every 6 people in the world after all of this. With all the plagues and everything, all those terrible plagues that are come upon the earth. Well, the church is having a wedding feast with the Lord and all the saved. And then the Lord comes back down at the end of this period of time, and he brings in what we call his millennial kingdom. A lot of people say the word millennium is not in the Bible. The word telia is. Milli is Latin for 1,000. 1,000 years is in the Bible. That's what we call the millennial reign of Christ. 1,000-year reign. That's going to take place on the earth. And the earth is going to be populated with people that are left over from the tribulation period. Israel will be the administrator of God's kingdom, epites geis, upon the earth. The Lord will be reigning with his bride in heaven. Okay? For 1,000 years, people are going to be born. The earth is going to be totally repopulated again. And they will be forced to serve the Lord. Every year there will be a Feast of Tabernacles. They will have to go. They will have to serve the Lord. There will be at least 1,000 Feasts of Tabernacles there. As far as the sacrifices and all that stuff, they're all what we call typical. They're all figurative at that period of time. But at the end of this period of time, now this is where the Battle of Armageddon takes place. Say Armageddon. That's where Armageddon takes place. How about the Battle of Gog and Magog? That doesn't take place for 1,000 years. At the end of this tribulation period, I mean not tribulation, but the millennial reign of Christ, Now, Satan has been put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He has no influence on the earth, but people are wicked. Adam would have made bad choices regardless of Satan, because men are wicked, you know. You know, that's what they are. That they have volition that is not according, it goes astray. Simple as that. Satan absolutely deceived Eve, and man was not deceived. Man willingly took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Matter of fact, they ate the whole tree up. They ate it all. They just kept on eating it in perfect tense. We're doing that on Sunday afternoon, okay? They're on the Hebrew Bible. Anyway, Satan will be turned loose at the end of that 1,000-year reign, and all these people, these people are living a long time, just like they did before Noah, okay? They're living a long time. He's going to be turned loose, and he's going to go out and gather up his armies and stand against God one last time. And that's the battle of Gog and Magog, and that will be it. Then God will make a new heaven and a new earth. See that? 1 Peter 3:10 through 13, Revelation 21:1, 1 Corinthians 2:9. If you don't have one of these charts, I have them. Would you like to have one? At the end of the class, come to me. I will get one in your hands, all right? Last week, I didn't get them out. That helps you understand what's going on. Now, Jesus says here again, concerning the judgment, because the ruler of the world, this world system. Now, who is that? Satan, all right? He has been judged. Now, Jesus has lived all the way through his life. He's coming to the cross of Calvary now, this cross, okay? He's coming to the cross of Calvary, and he's going to finish his battle, and then he's going to put his church into the world to preach the gospel for the last 2,000 years. At the end of that period of time, then there will be a rapture, and then we'll get into a mini era, the tribulation period, to bring Israel back to God. Two things he does there. One most important thing is to bring Israel to God and bring them into covenant relationship with them on the earth for 1,000 years. Okay? Many people don't believe that the Israel will ever be in the economy of God's purpose again at all. But I do believe that, because the Bible's got too many things to say about it. That's what you call replacement theology. How many of you ever heard of replacement theology? Yes. Okay.
Replacement. You talk quite a bit about the coming, you know, the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about at that particular time, the Gentile Christians, how are they going to be affected? Because they're not Jewish.
No, but there will be, you know, the little series of movies wasn't every way accurate, but how many of you ever seen Left Behind, the movie? It's going to be a whole lot. They're going to be dying for whatever they believe. They're going to die. So they're going to be hiding out. They're going to be hiding out and preaching the gospel. There will be a few Gentile Jews. I mean, Gentiles that are saved at that period of time. Not a few, but quite a few, that says. Of many nations, many of them is going to be saved. But there's going to be 5 out of every 6 of them going to be killed. But there's still going to be a lot of people left on earth. How many people are on earth at this time, do you know? How many? Lots of people. Okay, 5 out of every 6 of them are going to be killed, but there's still going to be quite a few. And of that 1/6 that come through there, they're going to populate the earth also, along with the Jews. The Jews will lead out in the worship of God on the earth. The Lord himself will be in the presence of his saints and his bride in heaven. Okay, that's New Jerusalem. That's that cubicle city that'll fly above the earth, that will lighten up the earth. And a lot of people say today, if you could prove to me there's a God, I'd believe. I'm going to tell you something. Satan knew there was a God. He knew there was a God. These people here in this millennial reign, they can look up there and see where God lives every day. And in all reality, we ought to be able to look up in the stars and the skies today and see that God created the heavens and the earth. It didn't happen. It's impossible, mathematically impossible, for the earth to evolve as it is today in life. All right, so now we've got that straightened out a little bit. I just threw a little piece of it out here and there and whatever, okay? 16 and 12. Eti, polai, echo, hemen, legain, all, u, deneste, bastazain, arte. Yet many things I have to you to tell to you. Many things I have. Look at that word echo there, I have. That's present indicative active. First person singular. I have, I continue to have this. He still has many things. I teach three classes a week and millions all over the world a month. Because for the last 45 years, I've got messages that I've sent out all that period of time. They're on those websites and people are downloading them just flying all the time. So I'm teaching all the time. There's a time element in learning, okay? A time element in learning. When I was going to seminary for all those years, one of my teachers used to tell me, there's a time element in learning, there's a time element in learning. He said, what you got here today in this class, put it underneath your hat, 25 years from now you might understand it. You know what? That was true. That was true. Brother Michael, you believe that, don't you? Well, there's a time element.
Said many times, I have that one sentence a week that I learn, yeah, that I'm able to relate to other Christians, yeah, that gives that I have the understanding, yeah, that I've heard 100 times before. Yeah.
You may hear something 100 times. You heard me say about the blood and the child. Now you understand that a little better, I think. And you're in the medical field. That's a scientific fact. If you want to read a whole lot about it, go study a book called The Chemistry of Blood by Dr. DeHaan, M.R. DeHaan. It'll tell you, the whole book's about that, about blood, okay, the chemistry of the blood. We'll talk about the millennium. You've got an idea. There's one of the millennium. Especially if you've got one of these charts. There it is. You know, you can see it over there. But as you study in the Bible and you see the words millennium over and over, go all the way through the Bible. The Bible is not one book. It is a lot of chapters that are called books. It's all one book. But they all feed toward one direction. All the Old Testament tells us that Jesus the Messiah is coming, that he's going to die on the cross of Calvary, that he's going to be raised again. And Paul the Apostle uses that in short order. I went into this church mission, actually, in Nevada one time, 20-something years ago. And they were a lot of very immature, some of them believers. Some of them weren't believers. They didn't know enough to even believe. But I went in there, and I asked them week after week after week, what is the gospel? And they fight with me about what's the gospel. We went on and on. I said, if I was to ask you what the gospel is, they said, it's good news. What good news? What is the good news? The good news about Jesus. Jesus. One of our students here that's teaching the Sunday school class came to me the other day and he said, these kids are going here and going there and they're sharing the good news. He said, what is the good news? We're sharing the good news. What is the good news? I don't know. You know, like that. I said, I want you to show me where the gospel is in the Bible. I told these people, and they said, it's good news, just like very adamantly. And I said, go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and let's read what it says there. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. That's real simple. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Anybody ought to be able to read that. And starting with the verse number 1. The Apostle Paul is telling us very plainly. Evidently, they didn't read this. I had one guy back in the church. He couldn't read and write. He said, I don't believe that. This is good news. He couldn't read and write. But his wife told him. You know, that's how things get messed up sometimes. The Word of God really sheds a lot of light on God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What does it say there? So now we're going to hear what the gospel is. I declare unto the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, unless you didn't really get to belief. Verse number 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins. This is part of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Why? Why did he die for our sins? What's it say? according to the scriptures. He didn't just die for our sins. Didn't you know a lot of people died for something that somebody else did? A lot of people being executed for somebody else's murder, or somebody else's crime. Did you know that? America has done a lot of that. A little bit quick on it for a long time. According to the scriptures, and that he was buried. All right? He died, all right, for our sins. By the way, the Bible said he died on the cross of Calvary, doesn't it? I taught a set of classes here a while back, three or four classes, on the extra-biblical historical evidence of Christ's birth, life, miraculous ministry, death by crucifixion, burial, and resurrection without looking at the Bible one time. It's out in the historic, but you can go there. One of the Gospel of John, class number 68 and 69, tells you those classes if you want to go listen to them. All the historical evidence by historians. Some of them didn't like Jesus, and they lambasted him, but they never once said he wasn't born. Not one of them said that he didn't commit or perform miracles or raise the dead. All types of miracles, okay? He raised the dead. He did all this stuff. He was crucified, historical fact. He was buried, historical fact, and then he was raised. Some of them said, well, I don't think he was dead. But he was walking around later on. Then he disappeared. Now, the Bible tells you all about that, too. But historical evidence tells you that. Pontius Pilate tells you a lot about it. Tiberius Caesar tells you about it. And many others. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That he was seen by Cephas and then of 12. And after that, he was seen above over 500 brethren at once. Of whom the greater part remain unto this day, but some have been killed or died. All right? Let's go back on now. Let's go on a little bit further in the Gospel of John. I have many more things to tell you, but you're not able to bear them. Bas tazain. You're not able. Dineste. That's where we get our word dynamite. Power from that. You're not powerful enough. You're not caused to be able to. Second person plural, present, indicative, passive voice. You're not caused to. Why weren't they caused to be able to see this at this time? Sharon, you know? What was going to come later on that they wouldn't understand? Okay, the day of Pentecost will come. The power of the Spirit of God would call to memory all these things. I'll tell you, the fulfillment of this scripture being written down is fulfillment of that. Every book in the New Testament is a fulfillment of that because the Holy Spirit would call to mind those things and these men would be inspired to write it down. And it's an absolute miracle that we have the Bible today. Not yet ye are able to bear until this point. RT. RT. All right, 1613 A. Hotan. Day. Elthe, Echinos, To Numa, Tes Aletheos, Ho De Gese, Himas, En Te Aletheia, Pase, U Gar Lalese, Af Yatu, Al Hosa Akuase, Lalese, Kai Ta Ercomena, Angeli, Amen. When I, this one teacher I had, Dr. Carl E. Farah, he used to tell me, he says, learn. There's a time element in learning and all that other stuff too. You know, as we was going to school, we went through all these classes. I had 219 units in seminary. 6 years of Hebrew and 9 years of Greek in class. And everything else they had, I took. And after I'd earned two doctorates, Dr. Farrar told me, he said, boy, you just got the license to learn now, that's all, nothing else. you haven't done anything yet. You just got the license to learn. I knew enough languages. I knew a little Latin. I knew Hebrew. I knew Greek. I knew enough French and a little Anglo-Saxon and all of these other languages, the French and whatever, you know, a little German, where I could read some of these commentaries and everything. The poor thing about it today, most preachers today can't even read Colin DeLicia's commentary on the Old Testament, because half of it's written in Latin and German and Greek and Hebrew. They can't read it. They have it on their shelf, but they can't read it. They can't read it. But then we were able to do that. Brother Phil told me one time, he said, Brother Jim, he said, we cut our throats. He said, we have to go to people like you to understand what the Bible says, because we don't know. Because we didn't take the languages. We can't even go read the commentaries. We don't have enough languages behind us. That's what I'm trying to do for you here, is give you a little license to learn. A license to learn. Because if you do get these languages down, you have a license to learn. You can go study deep. You can go beyond. You can become a theologian, see? That one who studies about God, okay? And you will learn one step at a time. You can climb into different avenues of learning. Not able to bear. But when he may come, look at that. He's going to happen, but this is what we call a futuristic subjunctive here. He may come. That one. And look at that one there. That one now, the word Holy Spirit, the word Spirit is what gender? What gender is Spirit? Pneuma. Tonuma. What? Neuter. But I've told you many times, the personal pronouns and the demonstrative pronouns that describe the Holy Spirit are masculine, because he is a he. His name, Holy Spirit, may be neuter, but he is masculine. And this tells you right here, ekinos. That's masculine. Nominative, singular, masculine. Masculine gender. Masculine, nominative, masculine, singular, demonstrative pronoun. Describing the neuter word, Spirit. The Spirit of truth, belonging to truth. Who is truth? Who is truth? Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the light. All right? I'm the truth that came into the world. I'm the light that came into the world. But the world loved darkness rather than light in John, the third chapter. And John just keeps on repeating himself all the way through. The Spirit belonging to truth. He shall guide ye in the truth, all the truth, for not he shall speak of himself. Now, many of the churches today, many of the charismatic churches today, you go in there and you hear about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost this and the Holy Ghost that. The Holy Ghost this, the Holy Ghost that. But Jesus said the Holy Spirit would not magnify himself. He will what? He will magnify me. And he will magnify the Father, not himself. But whatsoever things he hears, he shall speak. We all know this is a masculine gender, don't we? It's third person singular here. And Greek does not have masculine in gender as far as that goes. But these are all should be masculine, because ekinos is masculine. So we're talking about him. All right. He shall speak, and the things coming. Look at this. Nominative, plural, neuter. The things coming for themselves. All right, the things coming for themselves, he shall announce or up message again to you all. Okay? We are still learning truths about Christ. How many of you learned something about Jesus tonight that you didn't know before? You know why Jesus had no sin in him? Because he didn't have any of man's blood in him. He had God's blood in him. He was capable of sinning because he was human in nature, but he did not, because he was divine. He had divine blood in him. You know that Adam had divine blood in him, but he chose to go the wrong way? Knowingly, he was not deceived. He had that same divine blood in him. God formed man as he formed the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him what? The breathings of lives, and probably he breathed into him his blood. And he became a living chaya. What?
Adam.
Adam, but a living nephesh.
Oh, nephesh.
A living soul. So we have spirit, we have blood, which is material, and we have soul. Man is spirit, material, body, and soul. We'll look at that later on.
So the Greek, the original Greek, puts God as the male.
He's masculine.
He's masculine.
He's absolutely masculine.
I never...
All the world said, well, we don't know what God is. Right. He's masculine, feminine, neuter. We don't know what he is. But the Bible tells you what he is. In the Old Testament, it tells you what he is. In the New Testament, it tells you what he is. He didn't change gender. Okay? He didn't change gender. Between then and now. All right? We are still learning truths about Christ as we look back. We wonder how come we were so stupid earlier in our understanding. 10-15 years later, you'll wonder today, how was I so dumb then? Because you've made one more stepping stone. As you study the Bible, it's like walking into a room. Open a door. You understand this, the blood. You're in this room where the blood is. Now you understand this one. But in this room, there's lots of more windows and lots of more doors. And you just go out one of those doors and you understand that one a little more. And you walk into that one and you go into another room and you understand it. And that's the learning, the stepping stones of learning as you learn. 16 and verse number 14. Ekinos, emi, doxaze, hote, ek, tu, emoi, lampsethe, kai, anagle, himen. That one, look at here again. What's it on the end? Omicron sigma on the end tells you about what? Brother Roger, what's omicron sigma tell you about this word? Nominative singular masculine, demonstrative pronoun. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed gender yet, has he? He's still that one, masculine. Okay? That one, me, he shall glorify. That one, he's going to glorify me, not himself. Because out of the me, he shall receive. Who's going to tell the Holy Spirit what to say? Jesus. In Jesus, we have the Creator. I put a little movie in here today, and it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made God, and all this kind of stuff, you know. And it said, the Word came into the world, and the world knew him not. Okay? The lost world did not know him. It still doesn't. There's a lot. You know what? There's more lost people out there in the world than there are saved people, aren't there? You think so? You name me one nation that follows God. Name it. Name it. Don't say Israel, because they don't either. They're still rejected Messiah. They haven't got to God yet. Not one nation follows God. You just name it. A lot of them use God. I remember the prayer of Mark Twain in World War I. He said, he made this prayer out, and he said, oh Lord, help us to make orphans of our enemies' children. And he went on and on like this, because we know we're on the right side and not them. So kill them. And he went out there, and they never published that. I don't know whether you can even hardly find it. I have it someplace. But he kind of ridiculed people that are using the name of God to go kill and make wars. What do we have in the world today? Wars over religion. Religion has killed more people in the history of mankind than anything else. We've had more religious wars, and we're going to have them until the end. That last great war on the earth will be a religious war. Because from the middle of the week over here, from the 3.5 year period, they're going to be worshiping Satan through his son. And he's going to be fighting personally against Jesus. The son of Satan will be fighting against Jesus, God the Son. Guess who's going to win? Jesus wins. That's what the whole book of Revelation is. Jesus wins. That's the way it is. I remember a story of an old man that was a janitor in a auditorium right next to a seminary building. They had a basketball court there, and these seminary students would come over there, and they would play basketball. And this old man would sit there, and he'd be reading his Bible. And these young students, you know, these got to be first, second, third, fourth year seminary students, because they know it all. They came over there to him, ridiculed him one day. What are you doing? He's reading his Bible. He said, I'm reading the book of Revelation. He said, you understand that? You know, They said, what, you know, do you believe in the beginning of the week, the middle week, post-tribulation rapture? Do you believe in amillennialism? What do you believe in? And he just simply said, he said, I believe it. He said, well, what does it say? Jesus wins. That was it. Jesus wins. That's the story. Jesus wins. That's what the book of Revelation, that's what the book of Daniel says too. That one, me, he shall glorify, because out of me he shall receive. And he shall announce or say again. Third person singular, future indicative, active. And by the way, in Hebrew there's a future perfect. Because God speaks things right now, but they're as good as done 10,000 years from now. It don't matter. When he says it's done. Period. There was a sign on the back of cars here years ago. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, whether he believed it or not, doesn't matter. God said it, that settles it. Period. It's going to happen. Future perfect. Sound completely. He shall announce it to you. We have the definite promise of the Spirit's guidance in them receiving the Word of God, which we have right here. This is a fulfillment. The words we're reading right now is a fulfillment of that prophecy. All right, 16:15. Do you have any questions? Did I stir up some question in your minds? Do you have a question? Chance? No. Anybody? Sonia? No question. Corey? Pam? Anybody? Any questions as we go? All right. 16:15. Ponta, hosa, eke, ho pater, ima, esten, dia, tuto, apon, hote, ek, tu, emoi, labane, kai, anagale, himin. All things which he has, the Father, mine it is. Do you realize how great the statement that just was? He said, I own the heavens and the earth. It's mine. It's mine. How many of you have sons? Children. Okay? When you leave this world, guess who that stuff is? Huh? Leave them something good behind. Good. A heritage. Not so much material, but a heritage, okay? Because it's theirs, whatever it is. Whether you leave them a dime or not, leave them a heritage. Whatever things the Father he possesses, he has. It is mine. It is mine right now. It is mine. Because of this, I said that out of the mine he received. The Holy Spirit is going to give those apostles that would go out into different countries, he's going to give them power to raise the dead. Did Paul the apostle ever raise anybody who was dead? Give me an example of Paul the apostle raising somebody's dead. One time he preached too long one night, didn't he? And this boy was sitting up on a balcony and fell out and killed himself. Paul raised him from the dead. All right? They healed people. They cast out demons. Remember Acts the 16th chapter, verse 16, there was a woman there that was possessed by pithona. In Greek it says pithona. What is the word pithona in English? We got a, what is it? Python. Python. Python is what? A snake. She was held in power by the great snake, and who is that? Satan. And she was prophesying. She had the ability. Remember last week I told you about the spirits and the angels and those that had, you know, informational realm and all that kind of stuff. She had power over that. The spirit that had possessed her told her things that she didn't know, but the spirit knew. Evil spirits know everything that ever happened in the world. Did you know that? They know Alexander the Great. They know Genghis Khan. They know all of his soldiers by name. They can imitate them through different people in the world today. They don't have any problem with Alzheimer's or memory loss or anything like that. We do, but they don't. They don't get dementia when they're 10,000 years old. They just keep on going because they're supernatural. And they can go in and work through people. That woman in Acts 16:16 was possessed by that type. And Paul the Apostle overcame them, cast it out, and the woman was worthless. As far as a fortune teller ever again. They got mad, wanted to kill him. Tore up the turning the world upside down is what they said. That out of me he receives, and he shall announce, he shall message up to you. The Holy Spirit, remember what, according to 1 Corinthians, the 12th and 13th chapter, what were some of the gifts placed in the church? What was the first gift placed in the church? You remember what that was? What was the first gift placed in the church, and where was it placed in the church? When? Hotan. When?
Apostles.
Apostles. Where?
Galilee.
In Galilee. The first gift placed in the church. We know that there was a treasure in the church. A lot of the... When did the church have the ability, church members, have the ability to preach the gospel by inspiration? Don't you go... You go out and don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will tell you. Where did that happen? The limited commission from Galilee when they went out. Okay? Did they evangelize? Evangelism, evangelists were, that's a gift. Pastors would be a gift, and they had them in the first. They were all inspired to begin with. You know, they didn't have the Word of God back then, so they had to be inspired. Today we got the Word of God. We don't need the inspiration. We already got it right here. Okay? 1616, Mikron. This is what you asked about a little bit earlier, Roger. Mikron kai ukete. Theorete me kai Pauline. Mikron kai opteste me. Mikro. What word do we have this in the English language from this mikron? What word is it?
Micro.
Microbiology. Ever heard of that? Microtechnology. Microorganisms. Micro this, micro that. And then we have macro too, don't we? That's another word. All medical and scientific terms basically come from the Greek language. So as you learn Greek, you're going to learn scientific and medical terms. Now this medical practitioner right there, this young lady in the medical field, you know a lot of Greek already, don't you? You're running into it all over the place. Mikron, a little while, that's a diminutive adjective. And no longer, ukete, ye will behold. Now what word in English comes from this word, ye behold? What word is this? Theorete. Theater. No longer you will see, behold me. And again, a little while. Here we go, Roger. This is what you were talking about earlier. And a little while, and ye shall see me. They're not going to behold him. Okay? He would be crucified on the cross of Calvary. His life would leave him. He would be buried. Dead and buried, and then in a little while, 3 days later, he would be raised. And then it says he's going to be taken up from the Mount of Olives. We know that he was taken up and into heaven. And he said, then in a little while, I'll be coming back. That's going to be about 2,000 years when he's going to come back and call up his. And then 2,007 years or more, that's when he's going to come back as a warrior, at the end of that tribulation period, as a warrior, on a white horse. On a white horse. All right, any other questions? You ready to quit? No? You want one more verse? Want one more verse? Okay, 16:17. Epon, un, ek, tu, matheton. Autu, pros, alelus, ti, esten, Tuto, ha, lege, himan, mikron, kai, u, therete, me, kai, paulin, mikron, kai, opeste, me, kai, hote, hipago, pros, ton, patero. And they said, therefore, out of the disciples of him to one another. Now they start going to start talking to one another because they're afraid to talk to him because they're going to be show themselves up to be fools. You know, there's an old saying one time, you can remain quiet and nobody will know what you know. But if you open your mouth, they'll know you're a fool, you know. So they began to open their mouths to each other because they didn't want to look like fools, because now he told them these things, and why can't I put it together? The reason why they couldn't put it together is they couldn't believe the Lord of glory was going to die on the cross of Calvary, even though Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 said that. He quoted that, Psalm 22, the whole thing, on the cross of Calvary. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, and etc. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. One of them was in Aramaic and one of them was in Hebrew, quoted. They didn't understand it. They went away crying, bawling. They didn't believe. They didn't have enough faith or enough truth under their belt yet. Remember the one that said, I won't believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands and the scar in his side, the hole in his side. Who was that? Didymus, Thomas. And Jesus, when he came to him, he knew he said it. He said, come over here, Thomas, put your hand in here. Put your hand in here. All right? Lord, my God, my Jehovah, my Elohim, I believe. All right? And he said, therefore, out of the disciples of him to one another, what is it, this, which he tells to us? A little while, and not ye shall behold me. Again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I am going to the Father. The disciples took both verbs in the same sense and were still puzzled over the going to the Father business. In 14 and verse 3. But they talked to one another instead of Christ about it. Do you hear something that I didn't hear? What do you hear? Do you understand? What is he talking about here? What's going on? Did you get something I didn't get? What's going to happen? You remember when Jesus told them, the first time he told them that he was going to die and be crucified, what was the first things out of their mouth? Do you remember what it was? What was it, Brother Roger?
Was that what they were saying? Can I sit at your right
hand? Can I be at the right hand? Glory. Who's going to be the most important? Him or me? And then Jesus, you know, he dropped a bombshell on them. He told Peter he's going to die a crucifixion. Me? Die a crucifixion? What about him? Remember, Jesus was a prophet. He could tell things just as if it was going to happen, you know. I mean, he was the God of prophecy. What is he going to happen to him? He said, I don't care if he lives until I come back again. You worry about what you're supposed to do. You're going to die on the cross. Yes, brother. Well, I can just say this, that they were with Jesus for 3.5 years, and what a master teacher. Peter quotes the ancient oracles of the writings. Now, this I've heard this business, you know, about them being ignorant fishermen, but I'm going to tell you something. Those boys were educated. If you read Peter's writings, you will see how educated he was. He's quoting things, tremendous things. Luke, that wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts. Man, he uses terms. He quotes things that very few people ever read at that period of time. Quoted things, he used words, medical terms. We know what the eye of the needle was from Luke. You ever heard that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven? They said, oh, well, that's that little door over there in Jerusalem and all these other old cities, you know, that little short door where the camel had to take everything off and crawl underneath there. But Luke took care of that. He said the eye of a surgical needle. it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a surgical needle. What would you have to do to get a camel to the eye of a surgical needle? You'd have to stretch him out a little bit, wouldn't you? About a mile or two. That's what you call a hyperbole. That's something impossible. A hyperbole is an exaggeration. That's when you exaggerate, you know, hyperbole. Hyperbole, that means to throw over, to exaggerate, go beyond. Jesus used quite a few hyperboles. You strain out the gnats. When they were talking about, you know, these Jews, they wouldn't eat anything that was unholy. They would take their wine, and wine may have gnats in it, so they would take a cloth and they would strain their wine through cloth so they wouldn't eat this unclean insect. And then he said, you will gulp down a camel in one swallow. A camel's what? That's an unclean animal. Has anybody here swallowed a camel? Now, that's impossible to do. But Jesus used a hyperbole. That's what you call a hyperbole. That's a figure of speech. Okay, a figure of speech. We know that. Anything? Do you have any other questions? Any other questions? No? I'm going to turn you loose on the world. All right.
Unrelated. In 1 Corinthians 15, I've heard it asked, who's the 12 he's talking about since Judas had died?
Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Who was the apostle that replaced Judas?
It
wouldn't have
been Stephen yet, right?
No.
Matthew.
Huh? Matthias. They elected Matthias. The church elected Matthias. But who did the Lord replace Judas with? Paul the apostle. Who's writing the letter? Did Paul see him? Did Paul see Jesus? Yes, he did. He appeared to him on the road to Damascus. All right.
And then I guess off his question earlier, and tribulation, the ones with Christ will be called up in tribulation. Are we going to be with Israel in the millennial period?
The church will be with the Lord in heaven,
okay,
in New Jerusalem. And New Jerusalem is really big. It's almost 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. If you check it out, the stadia is different terms. It could be anywhere from 1,382 to 1,500 square miles. How many of you heard that before? Okay, that's, I taught you, didn't I? Anyway, you look at these different things. There's always this cube. That cube was represented by that place right there, that square, that perfect cube. Holy of Holies, okay? That represents the New Jerusalem, the holy place, heaven itself. Okay, the Lord's church and his saints will be with him up there in New Jerusalem. Israel and all of those that are left, Gentiles, will be on the earth. They will be populating the earth again. Okay? The earth was destroyed by water one time, wasn't it? All right? The Lord said that it would be held intact till it was destroyed by fire the next time. Okay? By fire. The book of Enoch, how many of you have read the book of Enoch? If you go to Discover the Word with DrJim.com or DiscoverTheWord.com, go on the right-hand side of the page and it'll say the book of Enoch. Read that. It'll scare the daylights out of you. Enoch was a preacher. He preached hellfire and damnation. And every book in the New Testament quotes Enoch, but only one book quotes him directly. All of them said what he said. Peter did. Luke. Everybody quoted him. Even Jesus quoted him and would use the terms. Okay? But Jude quoted him verbatim and said, Enoch said. Didn't Enoch say? All of them knew what Enoch said. All right? All of them knew what Enoch said. There are books, other, that are quoted in the Bible. What other book is quoted in the Bible that we have a historical book?
Jasher.
The book of Jasher. The book of Jasher, I think, is quoted 3 times or 4 times in the Bible. Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle tells you who the guys were that stood against Moses in Egypt. Who were they, according to Paul? Jannes and Jambres. They were Balaam's sons. Where did he get that information? From the book of Jasher. All right, the book of Jasher is a historical book. Hasaver Yashur is the name of that book. You can study these books and you can get information on them. Jasher will even tell you what Noah's wife's name was, how old she was when he married her. All that stuff. Tells you all of it. What is the oldest woman we have in the Bible that had a child? Wasn't Sarah. Who was it? Moses' mother. She got married when she was 128 years old. Yeah. All right, and she had three kids. All right, neat stuff, yes.
You talked a little bit about the individuals that lived longer in the Old Testament and stuff, and that's going to come back, you're saying?
Uh-huh.
What changed that? Because I know at some point in the Bible, doesn't it say something about that the man should not live longer than 125 years or something like that?
A lot of people say a man can live 120 years today, but that's not correct. God said that he would give mankind 120 years to repent before the flood came. Now, Enoch had preached for 300 years. Noah preaches 120 more years, and the flood comes. So we have a lot of period of time. As a matter of fact, Enoch named one of his sons, when he's dead, it shall come to pass. And how old that boy live? When he's dead, it shall come to pass live? 969 years. That was Methuselah. All right.
I've heard it said that I don't know if it's a theory or if it's sound study or whatever, but that somehow the flood was from moisture in the air, and that was one of the things that kind of...
The earth was completely surrounded by ocean in the air before the flood. We have a lot of water in the sky today. Here's the earth. Okay, at the earth at one time, before the flood and after the flood for a little while, the earth was Pangaea, in one earth on one side, water on the other side. But above the earth was a complete ocean in the sky. The earth was like in a bubble. A thick layer of water was around the earth. No rain came or anything. The earth was different in those days. Okay, there was rivers and things that the Bible tells about, like in the Garden of Eden where the rivers were and, you know, all that. At the flood, God opened up the fountains of the deep. It began to rain, which it didn't before, and then rivers began to flow from the ocean and the sky to earth. He just dumped all that water on them at all. Okay? All that water was dumped on them at once. And after this period of time, mankind began to live shorter lives because of UV, you know, ultraviolet lights and so on, if it was not the same as it was before. Okay? Not the same as ever. Those children, somebody can turn around out there. Okay. Anyway, do you have any other questions?
I have one.
Yeah.
During the tribulation, you talk about the Jews, but in the scripture, doesn't it talk about restoring Jerusalem and that he doesn't? Doesn't we really refer to Jews, but it refers to Christians?
Well,
I'm kind of confused on that.
Okay. Jerusalem is a place. Uh-huh. That's an old city. It used to be Jebus. Okay. Jerusalem, the king of Salem was Melchizedek. It goes way back in a period of time. That's been the seat of where God was going to rule. We know David ruled from there and everything else. If you listen to all the Arab world, David never lived, neither did Solomon, according to them, okay? But that's going to be where God's going to rule from, is Jerusalem, okay? He made an unconditional covenant with Abraham about Israel. Martin Luther and John Calvin tried to destroy every Jew alive. Did you know that? Hitler tried his best to kill all the Jews, okay? And all he did was try to put into effect what Luther had called for. He called for their incarceration, for every man to be neutered and every woman to be stopped from multiplying. He wanted to stop that. He wanted to stop them. Now, if they'd have done that, it would have thwarted the real eternal promises of God, because Israel does have a place here. They've been set aside. in the dispersion of Israel, Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19. But Israel's going to be regathered. We know that that has been taking place. Israel became a nation again. Now, that's a miracle in itself. Okay? But the Jews are still stubborn. They don't want to believe. Over there in that land, they don't believe in God to this day, not the God of the Bible, not Jesus. They'll fight him, they'll blaspheme him, they'll whatever. I mean, you ought to read some of the Jewish writings that I have read. You read the Mishnah and the Talmud, okay? You want to see Jesus maligned, okay? You malign him real well. But he's going to break him right here in the middle of the tribulation period. And the whole book of Revelation, a lot of people say, now, I've taught the book of Revelation four times in this church. I taught it 96 times, 96 classes from Greek one time at this church. That's the first time I taught the book of Revelation. If you want to go back and listen to me on the website, you'll hear me teach it in 1980, the whole book of Revelation. That's a long time ago. I know a lot more now than I did back then. That's all I can say. Because there's a time element in learning, see, all of this kind of stuff. But you see these promises. All right? Israel's going to be regathered. Why is Israel being regathered? Not because they're good guys. Over there right now, there's very few believers. But they're being regathered because of the promises of the Father. They were set aside. They will never be the bride of Christ. I want you to understand that. Israel will never be the bride of God. They blew it. God divorced them as his bride. It's over. They'll never be the bride of God. But he's going to use them because of the promise he made to the fathers, and he's going to use them for 1,000 years as his administrators on earth, epitase geis, upon the earth, not in heaven. This is a physical kingdom. You talk to a Jehovah's Witness today, and they don't want to go to heaven. They want to go to the kingdom. I don't want to go to the kingdom. I don't want to have any part of that kingdom here. They can have it. That's on the earth. I want to be up there with the Lord. In glory. I want to be in that beautiful city up there that's paved in material that looks like gold. You know, that, you know what the gold now is very precious, but then it's going to be paving material. Okay? What you pave the streets with, the mortar in between the stones, pearl gates and all of that. Gates made out of one piece of pearl. Now, I'm giving you a little time. You don't feel like you can't ask the question. If you need to go, you can go, but do you have any other questions? No? Did I answer that question just a little bit for you? Young man.
Someone who didn't believe in David and Solomon?
The Jews, I mean, the Arabs today will tell you that the Jews never had a kingdom. That's all fictional. A lot of Jewish history is fictional, if you read it from their standpoint. But David did live. Solomon did live. They ruled from Jerusalem at one period of time. Solomon's stables, I have seen those things. A lot of the times when especially the Arabs, they went into the city of Jerusalem and they tore up a lot of that old antiquities and hauled it off into the dumps. And they went out there and found some of it and picked up pieces that went back. They want to prove that David never exists, that they have no claim to the land of Palestine. Okay? A lot of things that are said about them, by them, some of them are true. You have to pick between the truth and lies. Okay? Between the truth and lies. Simple as that. But Israel was a nation. Israel was a great nation. David was a great king. Solomon was a great king. That really exists. But they swear it didn't happen. How many of you knew that? Didn't know that. All right. You can just get on there and listen to that stuff. Some of this anti-Semitic material. Okay? The nation of Israel has been dispersed all over the world. They have always been bankers, and tremendously God has blessed those people with the power of money. What got them in trouble a lot in Germany was their power over money, and in Europe. The Rothschilds are not English, those are Jews. And they pulled the strings in many, many wars in the history of mankind. Made money by it. Are you ready to go out and do something eternal now? Do you have a little more ammunition under your belt now than what you had before? Maybe understand just a little bit better. Let's go out and sick them. All right. Would you like to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Sure. Let's pray. Lord, I just give thanks to you, God. I just want to lift up your name and just give you praise, God. Thank you.